Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country, and a really wonderful place to live and work and write and create. We have a lot of wonderful people that have been very creative over the years in this community who have found this a sort of paradise, a haven for the kinds of things and the kinds of life they wanted to have. And today we're going to begin by talking about somebody who anybody who knows a lot about the history of Sonoma County has heard about, maybe knew, and that is the late, great, and world-famous writer M.F.K. Fisher. Fisher lived in Glen Ellen in something called the architect's favorite, actually, term was last house. It was the last house he designed, David Bouverie, on the Bouverie Preserve. And M.F.K. Fisher lived there for a little over 20 years. Today, my guest is Alex Wright, M.F.K. Fisher's grandson. Welcome, Alex.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's
a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. So over the years, and we'll get to your visits and personal experience in a moment, but over the years, because it was on the then called Audubon Canyon Ranch, now called All Hands Ecology Organizational Property, where they did experiments and they did burns and they did lion studies and all the rest of it. It was a place where the groundskeeper, the land steward, actually lived after your grandmother passed. And then over a period of time, it was decided that maybe this could be restored a little bit. And so for 8 or 9 years, it was sort of a replication of where your grandmother lived. But since the 2017 fires and all the other buildings but one were lost, that building has become more important to the organization. And so now it's back to being part of their functional collection. But it gave us an opportunity, gave you an opportunity, all of us, to have a platform to remind people about your grandmother's great writing. Tell us about what has been launched just this week, the new M.F.K. Fisher Foundation.
Yes, I'm very excited to say that this week we did launch the M.F.K. Fisher Foundation. The foundation exists primarily to give us a vehicle to preserve and promote the legacy of her works, her writing, the meaning behind it. My mother says frequently that my grandmother didn't believe that the importance of her work would live beyond her own lifetime. And thankfully, we're here to prove her wrong, because it is living and going strong, and the foundation now exists to make sure that continues to happen.
That's kind of amazing. And one of the things that your mother, who is, by the way, Kennedy Golden, and who is the president of the foundation, and you're the vice president of the foundation, she is also the trustee of the Literary Trust, and you're the successor trustee. I love that term, successor trustee. Like, we can count on the future. Thanks, Alex. Right? Right. But I mean,
we know it's going to continue.
Really? I mean, and didn't she tell us that the royalties for 2024 were three times the royalties of 2023.
It's really amazing. I do want to pause for a moment to say that she would have loved to be with us today, but unfortunately, she has absolutely no voice at the moment, and she is not suited for radio right now. but yes, we are, you know, there's people ask why would you start this foundation 30 years after M.F.K. Fisher's passing? And the first thing I'm reminded of, there's a Chinese proverb that says, when is the second best time to plant a tree? The second best time is today, but the best time was 20 years ago. So, you know, now is the second best time to start this foundation, I think. But there's also such an amazing resurgence right now. My mother spoke this year at a event at the British Library in London. There was a symposium, the M.F.K. Fisher symposium, put on by Les Dames d'Escoffier in Nashville this year. Within the last month, we have seen five of her books published in Taiwan. Beautiful, beautiful editions.
Wow.
Coming out in Taiwan. And so there's such a reemergence and rediscovery of that. And the foundation just exists to make sure that that continues.
That's just wonderful. Before we go any further, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Alex Wright. He is the vice president of the new MFK Fisher Foundation. His mother, Kennedy Golden, is the president. And Alex, you have done such a beautiful job creating a website and a newsletter. Tell us about both.
Yeah, the newsletter, we realized many years ago, and again, I need to thank Les Dames d'Escoffier because for years they maintained mfkfisher.com as a resource online. We have assumed that responsibility. We've built out a website that includes information about MFK Fisher, news and events that are happening. There's a complete listing of her books, books about her, films about her, and then some wonderful connections. You know, there are two restaurants named How to Cook a Wolf in the Pacific Northwest, a restaurant in Chicago, MFK. All of that, it's a place for all of that to live, for people to learn more. And of course, now there's information about the foundation as well. So all of that is available at mfkfisher.org. And then it's also a place where people can sign up for the newsletter, which we launched 5 months ago. And the newsletter has reflections by those who knew her and those who have been inspired by her. It has, again, those latest bits of news and information. And it comes out on the first of each month. And you can sign up on the website, but you can also find the archive of past issues on the website.
So you should know that today is November 1st, and today the newsletter will come out. So you can sign up for it right now by going to mfkfisher.org, or you can wait three days and go into the archive. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, there's so much richness to the visuals and to the details, but you're also doing something every Friday.
Every Friday. So if you go to Facebook or Instagram and you look up MFK Fisher author, there is a Fisher Friday every Friday. And I have had so much fun going back into my grandmother's books to find small quotes that we put out every Friday. And one of the things that I think is amazing is those quotes really stand up, pulled completely out of context. And I think it speaks to why her books continue to have so much meaning out of the time frame that they were written. You know, there are things there that speak very much to who we all are today and the experiences we're all having right now.
I couldn't agree more. I guess the way to describe your grandmother's writing is as a memoirist. She wrote about her life. And even though we're not talking about a recipe cookbook, she wrote a lot about food as it's a part of real, visceral, vivid life, didn't she?
She did. And as a tool for self-exploration, if you start all the way back at the gastronomical me, it's very much discovering who you are and what your place is in the world and what the world's place is around you, using food as that common thread that weaves through everything. You know, whether it's cultures or the way we celebrate or the way we gather together, the things that are important to us very often, if you really distill it down, focus on food.
Yes, and we talk about them when we're all together at the table, don't we?
Absolutely. I always like to say that anytime a group of people gather together around a table, she's there. You know, that's where that meaning is. And I laugh because when I was a child, gathering around that table and sitting with people for hours was not anything I enjoyed. but as an adult, it's something that I absolutely treasure.
And it's something that's very normal to life here in Sonoma County, even all these years later. Now, we just have a couple of minutes in this segment, but she lived here in Sonoma County, but she also lived in Napa in the south of France, right?
Correct. Yes. And one of the things that's enjoyable always is talking to my mother about those times in Europe that they spent there and things that I read about in the books. I'm incredibly aware of the fact that not everyone has their life documented in the way that my mother's and my aunt's and my grandmother's were documented. But yes, she spent quite a bit of time overseas.
I just want to remind people, she went by the name MFK Fisher for a reason, didn't she?
She did. At that point, women were not writing and talking about the things that she was talking about. They were not, that just was not something women were doing. They weren't writing in that way.
So she came in as MFK Fisher so that the publisher wouldn't know it was a woman to start with. I love that so much.
And there are stories about her walking in and the publishers being somewhat aghast when she walked in. And there was this beautiful woman who had written these things that they thought had been written by a man.
Vivid and strong and meaningful, personal, deep and timeless. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the foundation, how you can get involved, what might happen in the new year, and more about this treasure of our history, whose works are very, very much alive today. We will be right back here with Alex Wright at the table. And I'm here with Alex Wright. He is the vice president of the newly formed MFK Fisher Foundation. And I have to say, Alex, that you managed to do the paperwork and all the technology and all the rest of it in record time. I mean, it's an official registered 501c3. All the stuff had to be done. Your mother, Kennedy Golden, who is the president of the foundation board, spent hours at her local credit union setting up the account. It's all been accomplished in record time. And thoughtfully. Again, let's go back to, before we talk about the writing contest, which we're definitely going to do, let's go back to the website and the newsletter and how people can interact with it.
Yeah, we put out content through the newsletter and through social media, but the hope is that it's really a discussion. In the newsletter, we hope that people will reply and let us know what their thoughts are. As we launch the foundation, certainly we might not be able to do everything that people send us, but we hope that if someone has an idea or a suggestion for what the foundation might be able to do locally in their own community to help expand an awareness, we hope that people will do that. Of course, on Facebook and Messenger, you can always direct message us. And there's a contact form from the website. But we really want to hear from people about what MFK Fisher's work means to them, and what they hope we might be able to accomplish together in the future.
One of the things that we'll be taking over, and by the way, full disclosure, I'm also on this board. I was very pleased to be invited to join this wonderful group. In the pandemic, let's go back. Shauna Davis organized something called First Meal at Last House almost 9 years ago at the property when it was first available, and people had gathered some of the materials that had come from that house. They were returned to that house and other things that were inspired by it. And I was pleased to be the MC for that gathering. And that's when I met Kennedy for the first time. And we kind of did this and that, and things went along. And there was actually a person, part of the organization, Susie Allen, who ran tours, did docent talks and all the rest of it, amidst all the other things that the organization did and still does. And in that time, it created a kind of a platform. But when pandemics hit, when we were all sent home, we had the idea of doing a contest about writing, a writing contest. I mean, again, it's not just a writing contest, but it really is a contest about writing because it's memoir, it's personal, and it was done for children, youth, and adults. And we've done it for 6 years in a row. We've had judges from all over the country, actually all over the world. And this last year, the winner of the children's section was an 11-year-old girl from northern France. Third place came from Singapore. We had a park ranger come in as the winner of the adult section a couple of years ago. What are your thoughts about that writing contest? Now that you've become a judge, because, you know, Alex, you're on the judges panel forever. That's it. Your family job. Family job. But and also your mother has been a judge from the start, and also your cousin Luke Barr, who's a very successful author. And then we invite other people to make out the nine so that it's an odd number and we have lots of voices. But what is your hope for the writing contest?
Well, first I want to say that my grandmother had an open door policy with her house. And if you're reading in the newsletter, you're seeing that a number of those people's first interactions was because they wrote to her and she said, well, come to the house, which wasn't what they expected, to have this woman, you know, just say, come up and visit me. But that through that open door policy, encouraging emerging writers, young writers, aspiring writers, was a passion of hers during her lifetime. And so continuing that and having that be really the foundation's first activity now that we are an organization together, it's perfect. This is something she would have loved. I think that she might have poo-pooed the idea of a foundation with her name on it. But the idea that writers of all ages, and I think we may have had nearly every continent represented as well in this last year's writing contest.
That's right.
That is something that she would treasure. And to me, it is a perfect way to honor her memory, her legacy, and her work.
I have to tell you that a very dear friend of mine who's in her late 70s entered the first or second contest and didn't place at all. But it gave her kind of a kick in the whatever. And she just enrolled in the Harvard writing class that is available across the country. Yeah, I mean, so even the idea that you can write, whether you're a 10-year-old or you're a 78-year-old or anybody in between, from your own experience of responding to a prompt, responding to an idea, to a theme that together we've gathered that may reflect some element that is resonant in people's lives that she might have felt comfortable addressing. And also, there's always a quote from something that she has written that usually your mother, Kennedy, has found for us. And it goes from there. It's just kind of astounding, isn't it?
And it's remarkable. You know, last year with our theme of water, we had people who were writing basically scientific papers about water.
Right.
We had people who wrote fictional stories that took place perhaps around cultures around water. And then we had science fiction. To see what people, how people interpret those prompts into their own lives and into their own interests is remarkable. I am thoroughly enjoying serving as a judge.
Well, and I will tell you that sometimes the themes are very interesting in how they prompt a response. I mean, there have been a couple of times when we were thinking, boy, the culture is doing some interesting things here when all these teenagers are writing these things that look pretty tough, pretty interesting. Anyway, listen, I think that's quite wonderful. There might be a possibility of some gatherings. There might be a possibility of some panels and some discussions. Of course, there's the blessed Zoom that can connect us all over the world. And again, I want to reiterate what you said. We're interested in what people would like to do. Be sure to, though, be in contact with the organization, because I want to mention that Alex and his mother are the trustees. Really, they hold the responsibility for maintaining and protecting the legacy. So don't just open up a food truck that's MFK Fisher food truck, although it would be a wonderful, lovely meal of sandwiches that people might have sat on. You have to tune in next time to find out what I mean by that. It's a long story, but it's true. And while we have a moment, something happened last weekend in preparation for this new foundation launch, or in concert with it, at Last House. Now that we're not being there very often, you'll be there a few times a year perhaps, but in the meantime, something very special happened. Tell us about it.
Well, we were fortunate last weekend to be welcomed by All Hands Ecology and a small group of people, an intimate group of people, including the board members for the foundation, were there as we unveiled a plaque that will now exist in perpetuity on Last House, just outside the front door, honoring honoring and celebrating the fact that MSK Fisher lived within that structure, in that house. That is where she was for 20 years creating the work that we all know. And it was very special. It was a rainy morning.
Yes.
But it was special to be there with those people and to now, again, as you said, now that we're not going to be doing tours and programming in the house, but to celebrate that that was a very special place for her and a very special place for many, as we said, many of the writers that she encouraged to come and visit her there. It's a beautiful plaque. We will be sharing photos of that on social media.
And in the newsletter. Yes.
And in the newsletter today, yes. And so we look forward to the opportunity to perhaps do some events in that space and people can come and see that plaque.
Alex, thank you so much for being with us. We will have you and your mother when her voice comes back, and we'll be talking later in the year about the next writing contest. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back at the table.